Get me jacked up, my brother James.
Amen.
Y'all still glad you saved this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Y'all okay?
Yes, sir.
Don't let that take the wind out of you. Amen. Matter of fact, it just gives me a little bit more to know that she's all right. I felt sure that she had broken her back when she fell right there. And she's in good hands. Brother Tommy Mann is a paramedic, and he's going to check her out and make sure all the vital signs and all that stuff are doing good. But take your Bible and turn to 1 Thessalonians this morning. I know what time it is. I'm well aware of it. And I'm going to put this watch right over here, so you'll think I'm paying attention to what time it is, amen? But I will preach this morning till I get done. And I'm not going to lie to you and say I'm just going to give you something real quick and get you out of here, but I will be obedient to the Lord. I thought about this is our first Sunday service of the new year, and I'm not going to talk about making resolutions and all that kind of thing, but I've heard a lot of stuff this past week over the radio and the television, and then just talking with different ones of y'all and people on the phone, and I've heard a lot of stuff about the new year. One guy said in particular, and I may have heard this more than once, maybe this year will bring a new job. Maybe this year will bring a new job. This is a fella who's in one situation of employment, and he's looking to do something else. So he said, maybe this year, maybe after the first of the year, after everything slows down, that new position will open up and I'll get that new job. I've heard about 15 or 20 of you say, maybe after the first of the year, I'll get a job.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Warren said yesterday morning in our prayer meeting, he said, one thing has happened through all this with the economy and the people losing our job. He said, more of our people are tithing. And that didn't make good sense to me. He said, I said, what? He said, yeah, 10% of zero is zero. they're still giving the same thing they were, amen? So they said, maybe I'll get a new job. Some said, maybe I'll get a job. I met with a fella, I think it was day before yesterday, in the store, and he said maybe Obama really can help the situation. Well, it got quiet there. Maybe he can, but that's a maybe, amen? Somebody said maybe this year I'll really quit smoking. That'd be a good one. Be a good possibility too, just do it, amen? Somebody said, maybe this year I'll lose the weight I want to lose. I've heard all kind of stuff. Maybe this year I'm going to read my Bible more. Maybe this year I'm going to do this. Maybe this. Hey, you know what? All that's good. Not one thing I've mentioned would be bad. A new job would be good, as long as it didn't take you out of the will of God. A job would be good. Hey, flipping McDonald's burgers are better than nothing. Amen. All that stuff is good. Maybe if they can get the economy straightened out, that'd be good. Maybe if you quit smoking, that'd be good. If you lost weight, that'd be good. A lot of people would be healthier if they could lose some. Amen?
Yeah.
Brother Shane, I don't know why I looked at you when I said that, brother. I wasn't intending anything, brother. I thought, yeah, I bet he thought I was singling him out. I wasn't. And now I did. I'm sorry, brother. That would be good. All those things would be good. Man, I'll tell you though, I thought about it and all these things I kept hearing, and one I haven't heard, I don't think, from anybody. You know what the best thing that could happen this year is? That the Lord would return for His church. The very best thing that could happen. Man, you talk about the economy getting better. Amen. We got roads in our county that's got potholes in them that big around, and they can't even come out and put a little tar and gravel in them, and you drive down the road and it knocks your front end out of line. Can you imagine going from that old pothole road to a street of gold? I'm talking about the economy changing, brother. Woo! That'd be good. If you saved, you'd quit smoking. If you had lost, you'd start smoking. Some of y'all will get to that in a minute, amen? But the best thing that could happen this year is for the Lord to come. There couldn't be nothing better. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I cannot figure out where I want to start. Let's see. Let's look at verse number 13. The Bible said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no," say that word with me,
"hope."
No. Can you imagine not having any hope? I've been there. No hope. No hope. You know what no hope means? No end in sight. No way out, no remedy, no fix, no answer, no hope. He said, even as others which have no hope. If you're not saved, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, what is your hope? Is your hope Obama? You several bricks shy of a load. Somebody says, "Oh, you're a Republican." No, McCain wasn't my hope neither. The government cannot be our hope. Your 401k or Social Security, your retirement, that if that's your hope, you basically have no hope. Why? Because all those things are temporal and can be gone in a moment's time. So what you've got your hope in, some people have their hope in their job. Great jobs. I remember, and I got to hurry and get to the message, but I remember quite a few years ago when I was still working in the plumbing trade. I'm trying to remember what year it was, the great stock market crash. If anybody remembers what year that was, yell it out. 29, I ain't that old. I'm not talking about the Depression. I'm talking about a few years ago. 92? Yeah, that sounds about right. I was sent to do a job, a big remodel job at a house on the river in Roswell, right there on the Chattahoochee River. And we pulled up in the yard, and this place is an absolute mansion. I mean, one of the nicest homes I've ever seen in my life. And it had an indoor, I'm talking about an indoor basketball and racquetball court. That's what kind of house this place was. We walked into the house and met the job superintendent, and he is showing us where the new bathrooms were to go and all this stuff. And I said, "Man, who owns this house?" He said, "Well, the head of oncology or something like that at Emory University had just bought it." He said he almost stole this house. He said the man who owned it was one of the richest men in Atlanta, but he lost everything when the stock market crashed. In other words, that man had it made. He was driving the finest cars money could buy, the finest house that he could that money could buy. He had everything that he ever wanted, but all his hope was in that Dow going this way or that way. All his hope was what the stocks were doing and what the stock exchange, but overnight, everything that he had was gone. Everything that he had. Just like, hey, man, if that's what your hope's in, you have no hope. What do you say it? Because it can be gone tomorrow. Amen. Amen. But I'm glad my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I didn't even finish reading the scripture, did I? He said in verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again." Can I just stop right there and ask you a question? Do you believe? Do you believe Jesus died and rose again? Do you believe he was buried in a barred tomb? 3 days later, he arose up from the grave. He arose. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, no matter what men may say. Hey, thank God we serve a risen Savior. He said, if we believe. That's a big if, isn't it? Our eternity hinges on that if. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. I love verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now catch verse number 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Wherefore, comfort one another. Preacher, I ain't got a job. The Lord's coming. Preacher, the doctor says, I have cancer. Jesus is on his way. Amen. That's the best comfort I could ever give you. That would be the answer to it all. That would fix the economy. Hey, that would fix your weight problem. That would fix your health problem. That would fix every problem, all the marital problems, all the sin problems. It'd be gone just like that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Hey, let's find comfort in the fact that the Lord is coming. Amen. We preached a while back on rapture awareness. Y'all remember that?
Yes, sir.
And I talked about how many, especially young people, I don't want the Lord to come yet.
Yes, sir.
I don't want the Lord to come yet. I want to see this and I want to be able to do that. There ain't nothing you can do that will beat this.
That's right.
There ain't nowhere you can go, nothing you can see that will beat what we just read about. When you see Jesus one time, just one glimpse of his dear face, hey man, everything else in your life you'll forget about. You'll forget about who you might have married, how many children you'd have had, where you might have had a job. Hey man, all that'll be gone. Amen. Why? Because he will overshadow it all. The hope of his coming. Somebody said, do you really hope the Lord comes this year? I hope he comes today. I hope he comes today. I hope Brother Micah and his little wife doesn't make it back to Pensacola. I hope we just meet in the air. Amen. Thank God, that'd be fine with me. And we wouldn't have to deal with it anymore. Hey, the return of the Lord is a hope that we have. Amen. The fact of the Lord's return, if you read the Bible, you cannot deny it. There are some sects that even deny the rapture. There used to be a guy on television, I don't know if he's still there anymore. It was called the Shepherd's Chapel or the something like that. And he talked about us like we were fools and called us the flyaway crowd. That suits me, man. Guilty. I got two eyeballs that can see. I got some reading glasses that can magnify. And I can see it in black and white. Amen. There is no denying the return of the Lord for his sake. Hey man, it's written down for you and I. Why? That we can comfort one another with these words. We have it on divine announcement. Oh yeah. Jesus said it himself. John chapter number 14. If I go away, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Yes, amen.
Amen. We've got it in by divine announcement. We've got it by angelic affirmation. When Jesus left this earth, the angel appeared and said, why stand ye here gazing up in amazement? This same Jesus that you see taken away shall so come in like manner.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh yeah. We've got divine announcement. We've got angelic affirmation. But then we've got apostolic confirmation, which we just read this morning. He's coming. There's no doubt about it. There's no way you can read through this Bible and deny the fact that the Lord's coming back. Hey man, if you're going to believe part of it, you got to believe all of it. Amen. If you believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, you've got to believe. You've got to believe this same Jesus shall come in like manner. If you believe in the virgin birth, you have got to believe. You have got to believe. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. Hey, you've got to believe that. There is the fact of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm looking for it. Kyler Rowland wrote a song several years ago. And the title of the song was Heaven Will Take Care of It All. Wasn't that Sister Kyler, Brother Todd?
Amen.
Heaven will take care of it all. Man, that's the truth. That's the truth. Brother Eddie, what are we going to do? Well, my best answer is heaven will fix it.
Yeah. Yes.
Amen. Heaven will fix it, whatever it is. There is the fact that the Lord is returning. And then the second thing I'll give you this morning, not only is the fact that the Lord will return, but the fact that He will rapture His saints.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. If we're saved, we're out of here. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, you can call me crazy, but when a trumpet sounds, you can call me gone. Amen. The Scriptures leave no doubt that the saints of God will be caught up to heaven when the Lord comes. Have we seen the Lord's own promise in John 14? I've already read it. Amen. We've already read it. If you want to study your Bible a little bit further, you can read Revelation chapter 4 and see a perfect picture of it there. Somebody said the church is going through the tribulation. Somebody said, no, it's just going through part of the tribulation. If you'll study your Bible in Revelation chapter number 4, John said he saw a window open and a voice as if it were a trumpet. What did we just read? Amen. That trumpet's going to sound. He said, and that voice said, come up hither. And he went up hither. And brother, that whole period, through that whole thing, you don't find the church again. You don't see the church no more till the Lord returns. We're not in all that mess, them seven vials and them seven horsemen and all. We ain't in all that. We're gone. Amen. You say, where are we? We're at the marriage supper of the Lamb being served by the Son of God. Thank God I realize the fact that the Lord will return, but not only will He return, He's coming after something. Amen. What's He coming after? He's coming after me. Amen. Why? Because I put my faith and my trust in Him. He's coming. Some of you more, y'all, some of y'all, I'm glad them poinsettias is gone so I can get back up here.
Yeah.
Some of y'all more excited about singing I'm blessed than you are what I'm preaching this morning. Now something's wrong with you. You're more excited and more thankful for your earthly blessings, the car you drive, the family that you have, the house that you live in, the job that you have. You're more excited about those things than being washed in the blood and born again and your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life and the fact that heaven is yours. Amen. We ought to get excited about that. Amen. I get excited about singing I'm blessed too. And God's been good. Let me tell you what stirs me more than any of them. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Oh, what a day, what a day, what a day that'll be. I'm excited about that. I don't know about you, but in this flesh and in this life, I've got trouble and I've got trial and I've got temptation and I've got difficulty by the boatload. But when Jesus comes, that'll take care of that. Amen. The fact of the Lord's return, the fact of the rapture of the saints. I've told it over and over and over and over, and I know I've been here almost 16 years. Y'all get sick of hearing it. But I've talked with preachers before and talked about what would you like to be doing when the rapture takes place. I've heard some preachers say, I'd like to be in my pulpit preaching. And all of a sudden the rapture takes place and all the deacons wonder where I went. You know, I've heard them make those kind of statements, but I'll be honest with you. If I could be anywhere in the world when the rapture takes place, I would like to be standing at the head of a graveside service, burying some saint of God. That's where I'd like to be. Can you see? You know them old grave diggers always hang around. They always out there hanging around in the shadow waiting to lower that casket and cover it up and all that stuff. Can you see their faces? I'm standing by that graveside reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15, trying to comfort that family. And them old boys come over after we prayed, and they start cranking that handle down like that. And all of a sudden, that whoom up out of that. Woo! Hallelujah! You know what the most exciting part about that would be? I know I'm next. Amen. 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 The fact that the Lord will rapture His saints. He is going to take us out of here. Amen. I like that old sermon we preached, and many preachers have preached it, where old Douglas MacArthur left the Philippines and he stood on the ship and he said, "Men, I shall return." And boy, he sure did, and he brought reinforcements. I'm glad Jesus said, "I shall return, and when I come, I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be all." And by the way, where he is, everything's just fine. Amen. The return of the Lord. It's a fact. Have you ever got a grip on that?
Yes, sir.
I think if we really did, it might change the way we live.
Amen.
Might change the way we look at things a little bit.
Yes, sir.
If we really got a bulldog grip on the fact that the Lord will return.
Amen.
Have you got a grip on the fact that He's coming after you? Do you know that He is?
Yes, sir.
If the trumpet sounded this morning, would you be left behind? They made those movies a while back, and I'll be honest with you, I never watched one. So I can't tell you if I'm against them or not. I read the boy's testimony in the movie. Seemed like to be a solid Christian young man. Somebody tell me his name.
Kirk Cameron.
Done those movies, Left Behind. And they got these videos to leave for all your family to watch what to do after the rapture. Hey man, I'd rather leave my family. I'd rather know my family knows Christ as their Savior. And they ain't got to hang around to watch no video. Amen. They're going with me. Hallelujah. I'm glad I won't be left behind. Are you sure? Are you sure?
Amen.
You say, "Preacher, how can you know?"
Amen.
John said, "These things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life." Is there a day, an hour, a time, a place?
Yes, sir.
If I brought this handheld microphone around, could you tell us the day or the place where you got saved?
Yes.
Do you remember when you called out on God, asked Him to forgive you of your sins, come into your heart, and be your Savior? Could you tell us about that experience this morning?
Amen.
I've heard people say, "Well, I don't remember where I was at, but I know I got saved." I doubt it. I'm not saying you may be just as saved as I am, but I doubt it. That's something you don't forget. You may forget a day, you may forget a date, but you don't forget where you was. You don't forget where you was. When great things happen in your life, you don't forget where you were. You don't forget that. Man, I can see the delivery room where my first child was born. I can see it. Come on, parents, talk to me.
Amen.
I can see the spot where my wife and I stood at White Oak Springs and repeated our vows to one another.
Amen.
I can hear Brother J.M. Brooks shouting, "Until death, until death." I can hear that just as plain as day. Why? It was a great event in my life.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something else I can remember vividly. Bowing down under that pine tree in Jay Bice's front yard on New Year's Eve. In the wee hours of the morning and saying, "Oh God, oh God, I don't want to die and go to hell. Lord, please don't let me die and go to hell. Please save me, Lord." And I remember as well as I remember 5 seconds ago the peace that flooded my soul when I knew all my sins were gone. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to get had that. You ought to just get tore up about it. Do you know that if He came, is He coming after you? I know He's coming after me. Huh? These times I don't feel saved. Let me carry that a step further. These times I don't act saved. But it doesn't change the fact that I am saved. Amen. I've got His Word on it. Maybe this year we'll experience the return of the Lord and the rapture of the saints. Thirdly, let me give you this. I'll have you out of here by 12:30. Don't worry. there's going to be a reunion of the departed. There's going to be a reunion of the departed. My wife brought me a handful of pictures in the kitchen last night, and she said she's been categorizing all our pictures. She's been doing it for a long time and still doing it. And she brought me this little stack of pictures, and she said, "Here, honey, look at these." She said, "This is my life." And it started with just a picture when she was real young and went up through, and it got to our wedding day. And boy, there we stood. And old Brother J.M. was standing there, boy, and he was giving it to us. And I thought, boy, I miss that old rascal. Yeah. But we're going to have a reunion one day. Yeah. Every time I'd see J.M. and wasn't nobody else around, we'd have good talks. Brother Charles, I'm sure, knows what. He loved talking to Brother Freddie, too. He loved just anybody to sit down and just talk about the Bible and listen to some of his wild ideas. That's what he told me. He said, I got some ideas. He said, some of them's crazy, but they're ideas. And he'd tell you all about these things, and it was just fun to sit and listen to him. I can't wait. One of these days I'll see him again. Brother J.M., tell me about them wild ideas. Amen. And you know what? Maybe he'll just say they wasn't so wild after all. Hey, true, they're true. Amen. I can't wait to see my grandmother and my granddaddy. I can't wait to see all the thousands, all the hundreds that we've married over the years. Hallelujah. It's going to be a reunion day. Amen. Somebody said, "Well, I know my family in heaven." According to this book, we will. The Bible said we'll know even as we're known. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. I believe when I see little Wanda, she was a little girl we picked up on the bus for years and years and years. She rode the bus for years at White Oak, and then that route stopped, and I went to Happy Valley, and we started a route in that area, and she started riding our bus. Little Wanda had spinal bifida. She wasn't, we call her Little Wanda, but she's probably close to my age. She had spinal bifida and was in a wheelchair, and I'd aggravate her all the time. I'd say, "You want to race?" She'd say, "I hate you." And y'all forgive me for saying this, but I'm going to tell you exactly what she used to tell me. She used to say, "You know what first thing I'm going to do when we get to heaven?" I said, "What?" She said, "I'm going to kick your butt." That's what she'd say. She's more faithful in a wheelchair than most of us are with two good legs. I remember adding on to that building, walking in on a Saturday morning. We had a big work day, and I looked down the hall, and Wanda was laying on the floor with a paintbrush, painting the baseboard, scooting herself with her elbows. She said, "Brother Eddie, I found something I can do." I remember standing by her bedside, me and Brother Michael Powell, we'd slipped out of this world, and rubbing her little old head. "Hey, God, I'm going to get to see her again, but she won't be in a wheelchair, and she won't have spinal bifida." Hallelujah. What a day that's going to be. That thrill you, is they somebody you'd like to see again? Brother Charles, old Kathleen, ain't it going to be sweet? Put your arms around your little old mama. Brother Tommy, ain't that going to be good? Me and Angie was looking through them pictures last night, and there's a picture of her. I thought, boy, howdy. I can't wait to see them folks again. You know, it seems like the older you get, you got more over there than you got over here. Amen. It's going to be a reunion day, boy. That's why it's so important to know that all your family's saved and know Christ. We always say it in the funeral, boy. Make sure you're going to see them again. Amen. You know, old David said when that baby died, he had fasted in sackcloth and ashes. They told him the baby was dead, and he got up and washed himself and ate. And they said, "Man, why are you eating now?" He said, "I'll go to him. He can't come back to me, but I can go to him. I wouldn't bring my loved ones back here for nothing in this world. No way in this world would I bring them back in this place." I loved David Dilbeck, and I prayed for him. I prayed for that man, and we agonized together. And boy, when it was just me and him alone, he'd just break and he'd weep, boy. And we'd pray to God to heal that body. And boy, I wish he had. I do. But I wouldn't bring him back from where he's at right now for $1 million. No way, sir, no how. Amen. Me and Angie was looking last night. I don't know how many of y'all remember Lisa. She was Sister Laurie Powell's best friend, and Brother Michael and Sister Laurie renewed their wedding vows a while back, and Lisa was in that. She got hit. It was a New Year's Eve, I believe it was, wasn't it, Angie? She got hit in a head-on collision by a drunk driver and killed. And I was looking at that picture last night, and I thought, boy, we're going to get to see Lisa again. I could remember her in the old building standing up on the right-hand side, and she'd give the sweetest testimonies you ever heard. Boy, I wonder what kind of testimony she's got today. Hallelujah, man, it's going to be a reunion time. I'm looking forward to it. I want to see Jesus. Yes, I want to see the gates of pearl, the streets of gold, the walls of jasper. I want to see the river of life. I want to see that tree that beareth 12 manner of fruit. But I want to see some of these folks. I want to see some of these that I've stood over their grave and told their families they were in heaven. Amen. I want to see some of those that I've led to the Lord and didn't even know it by handing out a gospel tract or preaching a message that got to their heart and they didn't get saved till later. That's going to be exciting. Brother Freddie, all those at the gas stations and the grocery stores that we thought were so close, but yet they walked away. Maybe they got in. Amen. Maybe this year we'll see the return of the Lord, the rapture of the saints, the reunion of the departed. I want to talk about the rejoicing of the redeemed, but I just can't get past this reunion. Boy, my mind's just flooded. Just flooded. Could go on all day long. Caleb, your preacher, that was so good to you in Virginia. Brother Saunders, who battled with a brain tumor. Good man. He's in heaven. We saw a picture last night. I'm with me standing with the wreckage of Lester Roloff's airplane. I never got to personally meet him, but I will. But I will. My favorite old preacher to read about is Billy Sunday. I'm going to get to meet Billy Sunday. Amen. Well, that's going to be something, ain't it? I was telling those kids up in Williams Sunday School class this morning. We were talking about the will of God, and I said the most important thing is to be where you're supposed to be and doing what you're doing before God will show you anything else in your life. And I talked about Elijah being by that brook. I talked about Elisha plowing with them 12 yoke oxen. Can you imagine meeting a man who prayed down fire from heaven? Killed 400 prophets of Baal? Can you imagine meeting Samson? Wow. I want to meet Joshua. Moses. I bet he ain't going to look nothing like Charlton Heston. I bet he ain't. But I can't wait to meet him. Amen. I got to quit. Brother Todd, y'all make your way if you would. Then there is the rejoicing of God's people. Those of you who frown when we shout, and you get a little nervous when it gets a little carried away in here, if you're saved, I hope I'm standing next to you when you see Jesus. I'm going to go. Remember now, you don't agree with all this emotionalism. I get tired of people saying that about us. Oh, at Happy Valley, it's just a bunch of emotionalism. That's all any church is. A frown and a blank look on your face is just as much an emotion as my shout, hallelujah. We're emotional creatures, amen. Joy is an emotion. Amen. Maybe this year. Maybe this year. The Lord will come. Let's stand our feet this morning. Are you excited about it? There's some things at that judgment seat I'm not looking forward to. Boy, after that's done with, it's gonna be good. I'm not exactly what the Lord meant when he talked about those many mansions. I mean, down here I know what a mansion is, but can you imagine what a mansion is in heaven? I'm excited about seeing that stuff. I heard a preacher on television, one of them crazy TV evangelists, went through this big long spiel about how he died and went to heaven, came back. He was talking about all these vast fields of flowers. I thought, man, you just went to the Amish country. Yeah. So, no, if you'd have died and went to heaven, as soon as you woke up, you'd have put the business end of a 45 in your mind. Because after seeing that, it'd be hard to live anywhere else. I'm glad he's coming. I'm glad I have no doubts about it, no reservations. I'm glad he's coming for me. I'm glad I know that I'm going. I don't have to doubt my salvation. I don't have to worry whether I'm saved from one day to the next. I'm his. Bought with a price. It's done. Redeemed. I'm excited about seeing my loved ones, my friends who've gone on before us. I'm excited about the joy. It got pretty good in here this morning. Can you imagine that multiplied by, I don't know how many thousands? And not just a service every now and then, but forever. See, it can't be like that here. We'd blow up. But we're going to have a body that can just rejoice forever. I'm looking forward to it. Let's bow our heads this morning. Nobody looking around. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're glad you're saved, you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved. You know for a fact that if the trumpet sounded right now, you'd be gone. Preacher, that's me. Would you slip up your hand? I know. I'm sure. This one thing I know. I don't know much, but I know that I'm God's child. I've been saved. God bless your hearts. Thank you. Thank you. That's a good testimony. Maybe you couldn't raise your hand this morning. I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. If you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I'm not sure. I don't want to be left behind. I wouldn't want to have to die and go to hell. Pray that I could get that thing settled in my heart. Would you pray for me, preacher? Would you slip up your hand? God bless your heart. God bless your heart. Is there anyone else? Preacher, I'm not sure if I died today, heaven would be my home. God bless you, son. I see your hand. Is there anybody else? Preacher, please pray for me. It's time I got something done about my soul. Just pray for me. Thank you for being obedient this morning. Let's bow our heads together. We'll pray while they get ready to sing. Father, as we come in your presence again this morning, thank you, God, for what you've let us hear and feel in our hearts today. Lord, thank you that Sister Amanda was able to get up and walk out of this place and not be hurt, Lord. Father, thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for that blessed hope that we have. Lord, I left a lot out this morning, but I hope I said what you want me to say. Lord, you saw the hands that were raised this morning. Lord, I pray you'd help them to come forward. Let somebody take a Bible. Show them how to be saved today.
Don't let them leave here without you this morning. Father, you have your way in this invitation, and we'll thank you. We'll praise you in Jesus' name, I pray.